Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's just start off with our weekly confession this morning. Ready? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaken me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This is God speaking to me. Praise God. You ever meditate on that? Add scriptures to it? It really opens it up wide to you. There's a lot in there. One of the many things, the innumerable things that are good about the Christian life, the life of faith, the life of the believer, faith in Christ, following Christ, living the life of Christ, knowing Christ inside. One of the beautiful things about that is that it is the best option in life. It's the best option that this world has to offer. Amen. Jesus died for the whole world. And that invitation is always there. But one of the greatest things about that, and these are innumerable benefits of it, but knowing Jesus. Think about that. He is the light that created the heavens and the earth. Think about that for 5 minutes. You can know him. Knowing him, fellowshipping with him, walking with him. When you follow his word, you're following him because the word is God. The word is him. Knowing the Father, fellowshipping with the Father. John said, for our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowshipping with the Father and knowing that the Father is your Father, just as much as he is Jesus' Father. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive revelation, opening up the word to you, revelation knowledge of the scriptures, to be filled with his wisdom, to have him as your very own counselor. He is the most powerful teacher in existence. He knows everything. Not only that, he knows everything about everything. He knows every person. He knows every circumstance that you're going to face in life, and he can counsel you. You have a counsel. You have a wealth that is a well inside of you that has no bottom to it. The Holy Spirit, the powerful Holy Spirit, to receive his counsel, to receive his wisdom, to receive his encouragement and his strengthening. He strengthens you with might in your inner man so that your inner man can be infused with the strength of the right arm of God. It's powerful stuff. You ever think about this? To give you eternal life. You know, eternal life comes from the Word. Jesus is the Word. He says, I lead them, they follow me, they know my voice, they hear my voice, and I give them eternal life. I give them eternal life. You know, eternal life cannot be overstated. And actually, it's very undervalued, especially in the body of Christ, which is kind of strange because it is the greatest price, and it costs God everything, the greatest price that was ever paid for anything, anywhere, anytime. Eternal life is valuable. It is the pearl of great price. Amen? And if you are going to increase in that light, if you're going to grow in the light of the knowledge of God, in the light of his power, in the light of truth, the spirit of truth, if you're going to grow in, then there is one word that we need a good understanding of, and that word is light. Light. It's the first word out of God's mouth when he created the heavens and earth. Light be. Light was. 4,000 years later, that very same light stood on this earth in the form of a man named Jesus. And he said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me won't walk in darkness, but he'll have the light of life. He'll have the light of life. You meet somebody saying, you know, this Christian stuff, I don't know. This is hard. You ever meet them? And they're saying, I'm feeling around in the dark. I just don't understand these things. Well, they may have brushed with some Christians. They may have had two ships in the night with you, but they haven't met the real Jesus. They haven't received the real Jesus. Because if you have the real Jesus in you, you won't walk in darkness, but you'll have something. What is that? The light of life. And that is what attending to his word is all about. Giving his word first attention, because that's where the light is. That's where the power is. That's where your life is. In his word. John chapter, if there's any verse in the Bible that you want to really memorize, this is an easy one to do. John 8, verse 12. I am, there's an I am. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Say this, I have the light of life in me, his life, his light. I overcome darkness as I walk in the light. I have the light of God, the light of life. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 14:23. You know, I'm going to tell you this. He said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. You know, let me say this, and this is a little on this is very on the serious side, is that the time that you spend in the word tells God the priority that he has in your life. Your attitude towards the word of God is your attitude towards God. You know why that is? Because the word is God. God is the word. You can't say, they are one and the same. So write that down and look at it and say, Lord, how can I, the Holy Spirit will show you. He's your counselor. How can I spend more time in the word? The more I talk today, the less excuses you're going to have. The less excuses I'm going to have. I spend a lot of time in the word. But still, I can do more. If you want more light, if you want to increase in that light, it says the entrance of his word gives light. And he gives understanding to the simple. Don't complicate it. Yes. Amen? Yes. I am the light of the world. Knowing Jesus, fellowshipping with Jesus, walking with Jesus. How do you do that? It's in the word. He is the word. Walk in the word. You know, and I'm not minimizing it. I mean, there are people who struggle with this, especially new Christians and old Christians alike. In fact, old Christians doesn't mean you may have been saved for 30 years. That doesn't mean you're mature. Because in the spirit, you don't mature by the passing of time like you do in the natural. You mature by how you receive the word of God, how you exercise that word, and how you walk in that word. That's what, and in times of good and bad, upside and downside, consistency. That's what the word will do. It'll give you a consistency in your life. Praise God. The primary you can follow that way, just keep your nose in the book. Keep your nose in the book. Pray. The Holy Spirit will reveal the truth to you. He'll quicken a scripture to you, and he can't quicken a scripture to you if you don't know the word. You got to participate in this. This is a all in all covenant. He doesn't force his will on you. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to tell you the scripture. No, he says, look, you meditate on the scripture. I'll reveal what it says to you. It's a partnership. It's how it works. And when you do put the word first, guess what? that's when the word, that's when the Bible will start talking to you. This is God's word. This word is God speaking to you. He is speaking to you. He is speaking to you. I got some words to say about that next week when we talk about inclining our ear. I'm going to turn to have you turn to Isaiah 46, and this is the ground scripture of what this whole series is about, declaring the end from the beginning. And when you have the word in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth, it will come to pass. All he asks is that you believe that what you say will come to pass and you'll have what you say. That's the law of faith. But that's all through the Bible. This is how the world was created. It says this, Isaiah 46, verse 9, he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. For I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel will stand and I will do all of my pleasure. And he will. He'll do all of his pleasure. Amen. But the invitation is open to all of us to join in that. He said, remember something. What's he saying? Remember the former things of old. Now, most every theologian that I know and have read knows that this is about the creation of the universe, the creation of heaven and earth. The former things of old. For I am God, there's none like me. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. How do we know how the world is going to end? Read what it said in the beginning. The first chapter of Genesis is God's outline for 6,000 years of human history. Remember, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. And that's not to explain away evolution, which is a revolution, actually. But it's a prophetic, what do you call it? A key to understanding the Bible. Because if you look at the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, you'll understand that there is a pattern here that God saw what he said. See, he said it first, and then he saw what he said, declaring the end from the beginning. And there's a pattern there where he is revealing how the thing will end. All of the different 1,000 years time during that, it's all written. It's all declared, saying this, declaring the end from the what? What is it? What's the first sentence of the Bible? Okay. In the beginning, same word. And from ancient times, the things that are not, can we take that low hum out of, from ancient times, the things that are not done yet, but he's declaring them anyhow. They're not done yet. So when he speaks, I think it's off now.
No, you're good.
Okay, good. I just don't want to blow your guys' ears out.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for a sense of humor. And he said this, from ancient times, he declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all of my pleasure. God declares the end from the beginning. Now, that does not mean that everything that happens is God, because he's already declared it. And there's a lot of Christians who go down that camp and say, well, everything that happens is somehow God's will. Really? So he told you to go out and commit adultery? He told you to sin? He told you to go rob the bank? He told you to do this? You know, there was a guy who came up to Kenneth Hagin one time and started saying, why do you always talk about faith? Da, da, da. Because I'll tell you what, everything that happens is God's will. He said, really? Why didn't God make you tithe? He didn't even know the guy. He was a guest at the church. And the thing is, he talked to the pastor, and the guy immediately left the church at the end of that meeting. And he never came back. And the pastor told him, he said, that guy comes in here and he complains about everything and he has never given a dime to this church. So that was a word of knowledge that Kenneth Hagin got that he didn't even know he got. But that, you see, the word of God will either drive him away or it will pull him in, depending on the person, depending on their hunger for God. The truth has always been the truth. Truth. So God has declared your future, but you determine it when you agree with his word, when you make the choice to say yes to the Lord. I will forgive those who have hurt me. I will love those who have spoken evil against me and persecuted. I will give of my resources. I will put your word first in everything. And when I do that, you know what? God comes to your side because he has to honor his word. When you honor him, he will honor you. It says that in, I think it's 2 Samuel, what, 2 verse 30? Or 1 Samuel 2 verse, whatever it was. But he says, those who honor me will I honor. Remember the former things. How did this whole thing happen? God spoke it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. I mean, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, be imitators of God as beloved children. And then there's another place too. Where Paul said, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Same word. It's called follow. He said, follow me as I, that's what the King James says, but he says, imitate me. This refers to like a word used with actors and so forth, things like where they're imitating somebody. We are to imitate God as beloved children. You know, sons will do that. They'll imitate their father. Girls will imitate their mother. Most children learn by observing, not by what you tell them. So if you get mad and yell at them, it's not doing much good, but they will follow what you do. What they see, that's what they'll follow. So be a good example and follow God, and you won't have to worry about anything. Imitate God. Amen. So this is the premise, declaring the end from the beginning, the power of the word, the light and the life that's in the word, all the revelation and abundance that you need in the word as your source. That's what we're getting to today. And I'm saddling this scripture in Proverbs chapter 4 in this principle of declaring the end from the beginning. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And he's saying, my son, remember the Holy Spirit wrote this. My son, attend to my words. That means, attend means give it first and foremost attention. Give it first and final authority. Attend to the word. Ask yourself this. What words am I attending to lately? I don't say that to condemn you, but to correct. Say, look, we need an adjustment here. There are a lot of voices in the world. You need to follow the right one, and it's written right here, right for the record. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? That's where the life is, it's in the word. That's where the light is, it's in the word. That's where the power is, it's in the word. That's where the wisdom is, it's in the word. For they are life to those who find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word issues means the well springs. Jesus actually called it rivers of living water when he said the Holy Spirit. Flows the wellsprings of life, the rivers or the forces of life, one says. The forces of life are in your spirit. Those forces are the forces of love, joy, peace, endurance, goodness. Well, think of that next time you want to argue with your spouse. No, you have the forces of life on the inside of you, not strife. They rhyme, but they're two different things. The well springs of life are on the inside of you. Psalm 139, verse 14 and 16 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Everybody say, marvelous am I.
Marvelous am I.
For I am a work of God.
For I am a work of God.
And they, and that my soul knows right well, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in your book, all my members were written. Kenneth Hagin used to say, you see that? Your members are not a hospital record. Your members are a heavenly record. And you can go to God anytime because you're not limited to what the hospital says about you or the doctor says about you. You're liberated because you're God's. And he already designed yours. And all of your members were written in his book, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. He called you into business. You were created by the spoken word of God. You are created by the Rhema of God. The Rhema of God is the spoken word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, let's turn there. Hebrews 11, 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The worlds were framed by the word of God. And that word, you can look it up in Strong's. It's the word Rhema. And what it is, it's everything that the Logos is, but it's injected in time for a specific purpose, and it has all the power of God in it. And it's a Rhema word, and it will change anything you need it to change. Any storm, any situation. When Jesus said, peace! Peace, that was a Rhema. And you know what? You have the power inside of you, that same power. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the power that lives in you. He gave it to you. He said, I give it to you. What do I got to do to get it? He gave it to you. If I gave you the keys to my car and I said, would you say, well, how do I do that? You have a driver's license. You have the key to the car. You have been given his power. He said, behold, that means look, look at me. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
I hope you're getting this because you're going to need it. Next time you're in a storm, you know, storms come for a reason all the time, but they only come for a season. And here's the good thing. If you're in the middle of a storm now, that's proof that you have not yet been conquered. Think about that for 5 minutes. That probably went over your head. It'll hit you tomorrow morning when you wake up. Storms come for a season. They always come for a reason. And if you're in a storm right now, it's evidence and solid proof that you have not yet been conquered. You can stand up and imitate your father and start opening your mouth and speaking the word of God. Take this. Jesus did. He said, devil, this is written. It is written. It is written. He quoted it to him. You don't have to have some big revelation. Just quote the word. Quote the word. Just say what it says. You don't have to have a theological degree. You don't have to be a pastor, apostle, prophet, evangelist, or teacher. You don't have to have any of those things. All you have to do is be a child of God with the Spirit of God on the inside and say, my Father said to me that he has given me power over to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And you can't hurt me. Say it. Because it involves believing it and speaking it. That's the door to the supernatural power of God swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. That means believe it with all your heart and say it with all your strength. From here on the inside. You know why? It's so important because the devil recognizes that voice. He recognizes that anointing in that voice. He recognizes the life that's in that voice, and he can't handle it. That means if that power is in you, he can't handle you either. He don't want to be around you. Oh, hi. He don't want to be around you. And that's a good thing. Resist the devil, and he will what?
Flee!
He better run. You know, you have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and he knows it. Yes. If you know it, then all you got to do is shake the key ring. Just shake the ring. And he goes, oh, ooh, what's that? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. You take those keys and you unlock it. You take those keys and drive that car. You take those keys and open up a door that no man can close. No demon can close. Why? Because they're the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And if they open up by revelation, there's nothing man can do. Storms come for a season. I mean, they're temporary. You want them to go shorter? Start speaking. But speak on a daily basis so that when they come your way, you'll see it coming and you can start speaking before they even hit you. Well, it's flu season. I never heard of a heavenly flu. Heard of the Hong Kong flu. Never heard of a heavenly flu. Doesn't belong to me. Goodbye. I refuse to, you know, Larry Chapley says, I'm not answering for that package. I'm not signing for that package. You know, your voice is your address in the spirit realm. Did you know that? And when God hears that voice, he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what to do. He's just waiting for your voice. That's your address. And he will come knocking on your door. You need to open it up. Come on in. Mm. I don't know, are you getting anything out of this? Amen. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father. He's talking about Abraham. I have made you a father of many nations. Now, at this point in time, he was not the father of many nations. He was just Abram. Before whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. This is the principle of declaring the end from the beginning, of calling things which be not as though they were. And you need to understand this. This is not saying, this is not calling those things which be as though they weren't. No, that's denial. If you're saying you're not sick when you're sick, that's denial. We don't deny sickness is real. We don't deny injuries are real. We don't deny pain is real. We deny their right to exist in us. Amen?
Amen.
So we're calling things which be not, which is our healing, comfort, everything. Those things which be not as though they were.
Amen.
And when you do that, guess what? You're doing exactly what Jesus said in Mark 11:23. Mm-hmm. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. See, all this comes to you as you attend to God's word, when you attend to his saying, when you attend to his word and you start to tune out what the world is saying, what your circumstances are saying, what your checkbook says, what anything says. You're attending to God's word. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Like I said, after I'm done today, your excuses column is going to go way down here. That the pile is going to be, that's going to be dealt out to the devil. He has lots of excuses. In fact, he is an excuse for being. As it is written, see, you got to go back to the written word. As it is written, I have made you a father. I have made you my own child. I have made you powerful with my power. I have made you equipped for every good, furnished unto every good work in Christ. I have complete, you are complete in him. I have made you this. I have made you a new creation, a brand new creation, a species of being that never existed before. Before Jesus raised from the, nobody ever like us ever existed before. We live in a class far above any class of being that lived before Christ rose from the dead. We are a new species. The Bible calls it one new man. He came to the Jews. He offered himself to them. They rejected him. But there are many millions of Jews who have received him. From them and from the Gentiles, he made one new man. Now, does that mean we don't honor Israel anymore? No, we honor Israel because God says he has a plan for them right up until the end, just like he has for any of us. This is not the replacement theory that's going on in the church, and a lot of people believe that God just threw Israel, he threw them away because they rejected him. No, that was, he knew they were going to do that anyhow. He knows everything that's going to be, everything that was, in all of its depth and glory. And besides that, if you and I were a Jewish Pharisee at that time, we would have done the same thing. We would have been in the same boat because we're all human. So we have nothing to boast about except we can boast in the Lord because he's done great things in this. He revealed the truth to us. We came to him and he was faithful to change our life, to change us. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We need to start framing our life with our words. Imitate our Father. Imitate how he operates. Imitate the way he operates, the way he thinks. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But yet, he says, if you renew your mind with the word of God, you will be transformed and you will think his thoughts. You will believe the way he believes. You will speak the way he speaks. You'll walk the way he walked when he was on the earth, and he is. The reality is that risen Christ is in you. The reality is that the Spirit of God has no limitations other than what we give him because we're not renewed up here. Praise God. So if you're going through a storm, storms are for a season. They always come for a reason, to steal, kill, and to destroy. But if you're in a storm, know this, that that storm is evidence and proof that you are not yet conquered. You are not yet. And as long as there's a yet in there, you can move your mouth. And if you can move your mouth, you can move a mountain. If you can move your mouth, you can get a prison shaken and the doors all open. And deliverance to come. If you can move your mouth, you can change the world. You can change people's hearts because that's the only thing that can change a person's heart, the spoken word of God. Because you are the only Bible that someone may see. And when you start speaking it and speaking it and speaking it and speaking, it's fine that they'll say, you know what, that guy's making some, that sounds good. And he can't understand it yet, but something inside him. Because when you were born in this world, you came into this world, it says, you have a light that lights the life of every man that enters into the world. That light is the knowledge of God. And when you speak the word of God, they may deny it to your face, and you may feel like you reject it. No, that is not going to return void to the Father. That's not, it's going to hit the target because there is something in them. That light is the knowledge of God and the desire to know God. That's the light that is in every man that comes into the world. It doesn't mean they're born again when they come into the world. They need to get born again if they're in the world. But that light is to draw them. That light is to put something in them that desires God and the knowledge of God. Yes. And this world does everything they can to wash that out of your mind, to wash that out of your life, point you in another direction, deceive you, and tell you that this world has everything you need. And this world has nothing you need. Just like he deceived Adam and Eve. You'll be like God. They already were. You have this need. No, all my needs are met according to his riches and glory. Don't let him deceive you. Start speaking back. And speak the word only. I don't know. Hallelujah. We're gonna pick this up next week. Attend to my words, Bible says. Attend to my words. Something comes up, attend to my words. Pay attention to this. Give it attention. Put it in the front. Keep it there. Okay, enough said. I could keep going. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is all authoritative, that it is all powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the bone. There's a revelation right there. To understand the difference between soul and spirit, you need to understand the difference between the marrow and the bone. When you do that and you side with the spirit instead of the natural, you will succeed, because the devil has no defense for the spirit. Praise God. So, Father, we give ourselves over to you and your care this week. We thank you, Father, that we will speak your word, that we will put it in our heart, that we will attend to your word, to recline our ear to your, so we'll keep them ever before our eyes. So that the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with your light. 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 In Jesus' name, amen.